In the name of our triune God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. We don't know very much about Joseph, Jesus' foster father. The Bible doesn't have a lot to say about him. We do know that Joseph was a carpenter. Being a skilled craftsman probably means that he was neither fabulously wealthy nor painfully poor. Measures of wealth are relative, of course. 2,000 years ago, the richest people in the world didn't have cell phones or cars or maybe even indoor plumbing. Those things just didn't exist. Today, a person can have all those things and still be considered destitute. In many ways, you are better off than King Solomon with all of his riches. Of course, people in the future might look back at us and be appalled by the things we didn't have. What? They didn't have flying cars? You couldn't vacation on the moon? The biggest Burger King Whopper was only a triple? As we said, it's all relative. We don't have any reason to believe that Joseph was famous or powerful either. There is no record of him holding public office. He didn't command an army. And no one bothered to record what Joseph looked like. There are no existing paintings or drawings of him. We don't know if he was handsome or average looking. Now, as a carpenter, he might have had good muscular development, but if Jesus' father was the strongest man in the world, you think somebody would have noted it. So Joseph was likely your average, typical, usual kind of guy. He was not the Bible-era equivalent of Elon Musk or LeBron James or Brad Pitt or Justin Trudeau. We can safely say that Joseph was a devout, pious, observant Jew. Regarding his relationship with Mary, his betrothed, he not only followed the law of Moses, he was even willing to be more compassionate and merciful than what the law required, choosing not to expose her for what looked like infidelity on her part. After Jesus was born, he observed the prescribed religious rites involving his son and his wife. Joseph wasn't a high priest, but he was a good, honest, decent, religious man and appears to have been a loving, devoted father and husband. The last mention of Joseph in the Bible is when Jesus is 12 years old. So therefore, it's assumed that Joseph must have died before Jesus began his public ministry. Some people have theorized that maybe Joseph was a good bit older than Mary. Maybe he was a widower when he married her. But we don't know that for sure, and we can't speak where Scripture is silent. The Bible says more about Mary than about Joseph, but still not very much. What is often said about her early life comes more from conjecture and speculation than Scripture. It seems reasonable to assume that she was probably of the same socioeconomic status as Joseph. People then and now seem to marry people like themselves. Like Joseph, she may have had some relatives, both current and historical, that had high positions in the government and in the religious system, but she herself was not rich, famous, or powerful. She wasn't like Serena Williams or Kate Middleton or Margot Robbie. We don't know how old Mary was when she got betrothed to Joseph. It was not unusual for girls to marry in their teens then. It's said that Mary could have been as young as 13. We certainly aren't advocating that today. But lifespans were shorter then, and the opportunity for careers and education was very little for men and virtually non-existent for women. When a girl was mature enough to be a mother and housekeeper, she was ready to be married. Again, like Joseph, we don't know how Mary looked. The Bible doesn't say. The work of arts that I've been posting on Facebook throughout Advent depict Mary in many different ways. Europeans make her look European, Asians Asian, Africans Africa, and so on. We don't know if Mary was beautiful. I like to think that she was. There have been studies that show that people generally think attractive people are nicer and smarter and better than average in every way. Of course, that's not always true. Goodness and badness are distributed equally across the attractiveness spectrum. Beauty wasn't one of the requirements for Mary's position as the mother of our Lord, but beauty is in the eye of the beholder anyway. I think it's particularly interesting how Renaissance artists painted Mary to be quite different from what we might consider the standard of attractiveness today. What we consider beauty changes over time, but goodness never changes. Was Mary devout and pious? Renaissance artists often show the angel Gabriel appearing to her when telling her that she was going to be God's chosen vessel while she was praying. Often Mary is shown with a devotional book, which would be a bit of an anachronism. They didn't have bound books quite like we do today. We can deduce from Mary's willingness to bear God's son and her observance of the Jewish religious rituals and laws that she, like Joseph, was a good, honest, decent religious person. It goes without saying that Mary and Joseph did not apply for their jobs as Jesus' earthly parents. They didn't volunteer for that. They didn't campaign for it. One might think that being the foster parents of God's son would come with some perks. It didn't. No one offered them free upgrades when they traveled by donkey. The government wouldn't let them register early for the census by mail. They couldn't even pull a few strings and book a hotel room when Mary was in labor. And still today, people make anachronistic comments about her that are kind of silly. In fact, Mary and Joseph had to endure all sorts of hardships. That's actually kind of normal for people chosen by God for a great purpose. It's like the Jews, who were God's chosen people, chosen to be the nation that would bring Jesus into our world. They had to endure slavery in Egypt, exile in Babylon, and then their temple being destroyed twice. Right after Jesus was born, Mary and Joseph had to hightail it out of Judea to escape King Herod's death squads. When Jesus was 12 years old, they would accidentally leave him in Jerusalem. Parents know how terrifying it is to lose sight of a child. When they found him, he was teaching the teachers. How do you parent a child who is infinitely wiser than you are? Worst of all, Mary had to see her son crucified. Who can imagine her anguish? Could Mary and Joseph have rejected God's plans for them? God does give us free will. Mary could have told Gabriel no. Let God find somebody else to have the baby. Joseph could have not taken the dream that God gave him seriously and followed up on his plan to break his engagement to Mary. But both of them stepped out in faith. They trusted God. They went along with God's plan for them, although they could not see exactly where that journey was going to take them. I guess it goes without saying that following God turned Mary and Joseph's lives upside down. Maybe they had planned to have a quiet, peaceful life in Nazareth. Joseph would run his business. Mary would keep the house and run after the children. That would have been sweet. But God had something bigger and sweeter in mind, the salvation of all humanity. And Joseph and Mary were going to have a big supporting role in that. God has a plan for each of us. He has a plan for you. It's not to be the parents of Jesus, that's been done. And none of us is called to be the Messiah. Jesus already took care of that. But maybe you are called to be godly parents to your children or grandchildren. You can love and provide for a child the way that Joseph did. You could love and nurture a child the way that Mary did Jesus. Maybe you are called to care for a spouse. You can love and trust each other and work together the way that Mary and Joseph did. And your church needs you. What did we hear at the congregational meeting last week? There's lots to be done. And the needy need you. Next week, a group is going to be cooking in our kitchen, making Christmas dinner for about 200 people who might not have a Christmas dinner otherwise. God loves us, whether we are rich or poor, whether we are pretty or plain. We don't have to be Superman or a superstar or a supermodel to win God's love. He loves us just as we are. He loves us just as much as he loved Mary and Joseph. And because God the Father loves Jesus the Son, all of us who are Jesus' family, all of us who are baptized into his holy name, will be with him in glory forever. Jesus' birth turns the world upside down. So then all of the ups and downs of this life don't have to scare us. Failure is not fatal, and even death is not final. No matter how bleak things may look, there is hope in Christ. No matter how much we have wandered from the path, there is forgiveness in Christ. And it's only possible because of Joseph and Mary's baby boy, the very Son of God, Jesus Christ our Lord. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.